Well, praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Praise God. Appreciate our praise team. They do such an awesome job of leading us into praise and worship. I tell you, we are about to have revival in the nursery. Just about everybody in the, here comes grandfather, just about everybody in the first session theology class, Brother Jeff, is expecting. Or, well, their wives are. And they are in support of their expectant wives. But revival comes in all kinds of different ways. Comes in through the altar, comes in through the nursery. And we're just excited about revival. Everybody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, Brother Harold, we started a brand new Bible study with your guy Richard Monday night. And he seems to be a hungry fella for the Word of God. Guy off the job there, he came, got the Holy Ghost, got baptized. And we're going to see how far we can take him in the Word of God. Praise God. Brother Delridge, Sister Cherry, you're welcome to stay in here, but that growth class is going to put meat on your bones. But you do what you want to do. Really. You just do what you like. You're going to get fed either place you decide to sit. But that one's kind of systematic over there. Brother Larry, would you show them where they're going there? I'm so glad. How many of you remembered Lee Delridge Duck from some years ago? Coming back to the house of God. Philippians chapter 2 is where we're going to take a text, and then we're going to move on to the 63rd Psalm. Philippians chapter 2 in verses 12 and 13. And everyone said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Turn to your neighbor and tell him salvation takes work. Don't believe anybody that tells you it's otherwise. Salvation takes work. He said you got to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That business about just believe it in your heart and think it in your mind and walk on out and live like the devil, that never was in the Word of God, and it's not in the Word of God tonight. You're going to have to be a proactive participant in this business of salvation, or it will not be yours. Praise God. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Would you say, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You understand what we're reading tonight. That the Word of God declares that God works in you. He'll put the will in you. And he'll put the do in you. He'll not only give you the drive, but he'll help you accomplish it. He'll not only give you the motivation, but he'll make a way for you to accomplish that in your life. He not only gives you the zeal and the hunger and the thirst for the kingdom of God, but then he gives you everything that you need in order to accomplish that. God works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's clap our hands unto him and offer up a praise, a shout of praise for the Word of God that is forever settled in the heavens. We give you praise, mighty God, for your Word. We give you thanks, God, for your Word forever settled. And we give you all the glory and the honor for it tonight. Praise God. Making our way through the Old Testament, making our way through the Psalms. And David is a man after God's own heart. David is the beginning of the throne of Christ. David is the most notable character in all the Old Testament for a multitude of reasons. And these Psalms are full of good things for us. Even though we're 3,000 years away from David, he still speaks to our hearts. And he knows a lot about God that he shares with us through song and through prayer. He is the author of the songbook and the prayer book of all of Israel. And here in the 63rd Psalm, David says, O God, thou art my God. He lays claim. He takes ownership. This is not a story. It's not just the God of Jesse and David as his son comes into the shelter of some religious experience. This is my God. He said, oh God, you are my God. You're not just the God of my fathers. You're not just the God of my organization or our group of people that gather together. You're not just a story that I've heard about, but I've staked a claim in this. You are my God. I've made this my own. You are my God. This is not a letter for somebody else. This is a letter for me. I stake my life in the middle of this word of God. This is my word of God. Somebody say, my God. My word of God. Come on. My promise. My truth. Come on. These things belong to us. We lay claim to them. We're not divided in our passion. We're not divided in our intent. This belongs to me. I'll tell you what. This suit of clothes I'm wearing, it doesn't belong to me. That truck I drove on the lot with, it doesn't belong to me. The house I live in, it doesn't belong to me. You say, oh, no, all those things belong. No, they don't, because when you breathe your last breath, they'll all belong to somebody else. All you get to do is borrow stuff here. All you do is camp out here for a little bit. No, this is my plot of ground. No. The only plot of ground you're going to own is about 6 feet long and about 3 feet wide or 4 feet wide. And even that, when they get ready to build a road through there, they'll bulldoze right through you. If you think you own anything here, you're sadly mistaken. Praise God. But I can say he's my God. Because he's my God all the way through the journey of this life. And he's my God when I step out of this body and I step on a cross onto the other side. He's my God in the day and in the night, in the cold and in the heat. It doesn't matter. He's God and he's my God. Somebody say praise God. You got to get that down in your heart. We're following after David. David's a man after God's own heart. He's got a lot to tell us, and you won't make it unless you lay claim to this thing. I tell you what, this revival we're having in Birmingham, it's my revival. This move of God we're having in this church house, it's my move of God. This Wednesday night service that we're having here, it's my Wednesday night service. Oh, you thought it was Brother Sutton's. You thought you could come in and say, all right, preach to me. All right, sing to me. All right, play for me. All right, somebody put on a presentation. No, you won't ever get out of it what this thing has for you unless you say, this is my house of God. This is my church house. This is my church family. This service belongs to me. It doesn't belong to the pressure of the day. It doesn't belong to the circumstances of life. It doesn't belong to the devil that would like to shut it all down. This moment belongs to me. And I'll do with it what I can. I'll get out of it what I can. And when you walk away from the house of God and you didn't get anything, you can't blame anybody. And when you walk away from the opportunity to serve God and somehow your mind or your heart got twisted and your passion got depleted and you didn't live for God and you got misdirected, you can't blame Aunt Sally and you can't bring mama or you can't blame mama or daddy and you can't blame the backsliders or the hypocrites or the failures, because at the end of the day, this thing belongs to you. Live, die, sink or swim. It'll be your decision. It'll be your passion. Praise God. We're not going to go very far. Oh God, thou art my God. And he said, early will I seek thee. Praise God. Fishermen get up early to go fishing. They're coming home by the time the day even gets half started, right? They've already been there. He said, early, I'm going to seek thee. What does that tell you? It tells you that God is a priority in David's life. My soul thirsteth for thee. He said, man, I woke up in the middle of the night and I was thirsty for God. He said, my flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land. Talking about this world where no water is. But he's not talking about natural water. He's not talking about natural thirst, natural food. He's talking about the things of the spirit, because the natural things are subservient. They are secondary. Spiritual things are primary because God is primary. He said, I've got a thirst, but it's not a thirst for water. I've got a thirst for God. And he said, I've got a hunger, a longing in me. And it's for God. And David in this identifies the basic nature of mankind. And he identifies the hunger of soul of all of mankind. He says, to see thy power. I want to see your power and your glory. So as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. He says, like when I was right in the middle of that red hot service there in the sanctuary, and your Shekinah glory came down. Now, we don't know a whole lot about David. We do know that he walked into the holy of, he walked into the tabernacle, the temple, and he ate the showbread. And we know that he got a hold of Goliath's sword that was wrapped up in an oil skin in there. I just tell you, I think there's a good possibility David walked right into the Holy of Holies by invitation. Can't prove it to you. But he said, I've seen you in the sanctuary. Well, the only place you saw God in the sanctuary was in the Holy of Holies. But he said, I want to see that power and that glory. I want to see you, God. He's got a hunger. He's got an expectation. Because your loving kindness is better than life. Relationship with God is better than anything in life. This is a king. He has anything he wants. He's wealthy. He's powerful. He's accomplished. He's defeated all their enemies all around about them. He is the anointed of God. He's got a promise from God that he'll never cease to exist in the plan of God, that his throne will endure forever. But he says, God's loving kindness is better than life. And because of that, my lips will praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I'll lift up my hands in thy name. He said, I'm going to seek you. I'm going to praise you. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. He said, more important than that natural man, my soul is going to be full and fat. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. He said, I'm going to keep the joy of the Lord. And my mouth is going to be full of joy. And I'm going to praise God. I'm not going to be some weepy, whining, miserable, depressed, sad saint of God. I'm going to have joy, and I'm going to praise you with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, he said, I'm going to think about you all day long. And then at night when I go to bed, I'm going to be meditating on thee in the night watches. Up at night looking for God. Have any of you ever got up in the middle of the night and found God off in the darkness of your house, or walked out on the drive or the porch and found God out there waiting? Hey, anybody ever woke up in the night and went down to your prayer closet and God was there, and you were surprised because all the offices of men are closed and nobody's answering their phone, but God's open 24 hours and here he was in the middle of the night meeting with you. David said, I'm thinking about you on my bed and I'm meditating on you in the night watches, because you've been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. I just want to get under you like a chick gets under a mother hen. My soul followeth hard after thee. He said, God, go on. I am right behind you. I'm dogging your steps, God. He said, you don't even have to look back. I'm right here. I'm on it. You got something you want done? I'm on it right now. I'm right behind you. Where the glory cloud stops, that's where I'll stop. And when it gets up and goes, that was the arrangement with Israel. When that cloud would begin to move, they'd sound off on that shofar, and all of Israel would roll up their tents, and they'd take off after that cloud, that glory cloud. And David said, I'm just like that. I'm following hard after God. You really need to ask yourself something here tonight. You need to ask yourself, what am I pursuing in my life? What am I driving for right now? What is my mind full of? What is my passion? What am I trying to lay hold of? What fills my thoughts on my bed? What gets me up in the night watches and I'm thinking about it? What's possessing my thoughts, and what gives me joy, and what causes me to interact? David said, it's God that rings my bell. It's God that does that for me. You need to ask yourself where your priorities are and what you're pursuing, what you're loving. Praise God. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Praise God. Now, in this psalm, David identifies the hunger of man. Everybody say the hunger of man. Some read this and they think, oh, I wish I could be like David. I wish I had a driving passion and hunger for God. I wish that I had this great thirst and desire for God. God, give me hunger. God, give me thirst. But it's not, I wish I could be like David and have a hunger and a thirst and a longing for God. This is not about developing a hunger for God. It's not about cultivating a thirst or a taste for God. Well, you just come on, you just do it long enough, and you do it long enough, and then you'll be hungry for it. Get yourself in there long enough. No, if you're miserable doing it, you'll be miserable and more miserable as you go. Continued in your misery. This is not about building, but this psalm is a clarifying. It's a realization about a hunger that is already God-given and in your soul. We read a text that said, God will work in you both to will and to do. God puts the will in you. Can I challenge you tonight with the fact you already have the hunger and you already have the thirst? It comes packaged in. But this psalm talks about a clarifying and a realization of that hunger. Your fallen flesh entertains diversions. Down at the base of who you are, and at the bottom of your life, and at the heartbeat, down at the place where your soul connects with your natural life, there is a hunger for God. But fallen flesh distorts the message and entertains diversions and substitutes and addictions and delusions. It's like the whole world is at the refrigerator door at 2:00 in the morning, wanting something to eat, and they don't know what they want to eat. Let me tell you what you want down at base level. It's God. What you are hungry for is God. I can go to anybody in any condition in this city, and if they need another hit, I can tell them what you're really hungry for is God. And if they need another drink, what they're really hungry for is God. And if they need another notch in their belt, another success in the business world, what they're really hungry for is God. How do you know that? I know that because none of those things will ever satisfy their soul. The hunger will never be satisfied. Another dollar in the bank account, You're hungry for God. You're scrabbling to get prestige and some recognition. You're hungry for God. You're shoving people out of the way to get another promotion. Ah, I detect hunger for God. You say everybody's got it. I believe everybody's got it. I believe everybody's got a hunger for God. I believe everybody's got a thirst and a desire for God. But it gets twisted and distorted in the natural life and in the fallen flesh. And men begin to seek after other things. Esau with his bowl of soup, but he was hungry for God. I believe everybody has a hunger for God. And the realization will come down like a ton of bricks when we stand before him. This is what I was hungry for. This is what I was thirsting for. And I spent my whole life scrabbling after little trinkets and little impossibly shallow things on earth's level. But I was really hungry for God. Some of you know this in your testimony. You can remember back when you came to an altar. It was below the radar of rational thought. It was below the cognitive and the intellectual. But something began to move in you down at the level of the spirit, down at the place where your soul and your spirit connect. And in your mind, you begin to try to frame words. This is what I've been looking for all my life. How many of you said that when you came to God? This is what I was looking for all my life. Have you ever heard anybody say that down in the altar? I've never felt anything like this in my life. This is what I've been looking for. This is what I've been hungry for. This is what I've been thirsting for. Down at base level, everybody is hungry for God. Somebody say praise the Lord. The flesh entertains diversions, entertainment, glory and fame and success and adultery and perversion. I'm hungry for something. I'm not satisfied. Hunger being identified by I'm not satisfied where I am. I'm looking for something else. Well, you've got pretty good stuff around, but that's not satisfying me. I need another woman. I need another man. I need another fling. I need another perversion. I need something more than what I've been involved in here. You've got a hunger in you, and everything you've been trying, it hadn't filled you up. Everything you've been buying, everything you've been loading up on, it hasn't satisfied you. It hasn't filled you up. Can I suggest to you, you're hungry for God? You need God. You need a Holy Ghost down on the inside of you. None of these things can satisfy. None of them. David said, it's God I'm hungry for. It's God I'm thirsty for. It's God that I need down in my life. David identifies the subject of his soul's hunger. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory as I've seen it in the sanctuary. Your loving kindness is better than life, and my lips shall praise thee. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee. He says the only place where I'm going to find satisfaction is in a righteous experience in the kingdom of God. Praise God. And it is amazing to me, that you can sit on a pew or you can sit in a church house and entertain the things of God and walk away and say, I've tried that and it didn't satisfy me. I tried that and I'm hungry for something else. I want to suggest to you, you haven't tried it. You haven't pressed into it. You've come looking for something in the natural in the house of God. I tried living for God. No, you came looking for a man in the house of God. Or you came looking for a woman in the house of God. Or you came looking for the blessings of God on your business or on your life. Or you came looking for healing in your body or some natural or some superficial thing that you're hungry for. Praise God. But those are distractions from what your true hunger is. Praise God. How many of you were thirsty today and you drank a Coke? Did it do you any good? Can I suggest to you, you weren't thirsty for a Coke. Your body was saying, water, water. And you were thinking, I need a Coke. because you've been distracted. And Coke is a diuretic, so it complicated the thing even more. Then you needed more water, and so you drank more Coke. And the more you drank, the fatter you got. Then they invented Diet Coke. And you can drink all day, and your kidneys are saying, help me, please, help me. What is that? You have an internal desire for something, a need for something, and it's very, very real, but you followed after a delusion or a distraction or a some sort of a facsimile or a representative, something other or something else, some unreal thing that's going to complicate your life. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. She's there drinking, and she's pulling up water out of the well. And he says, give me some of that water. And she brings up all kind of theological nonsense and societal nonsense. You're a Jew. What are you doing talking to me? She's a Samaritan. He said, if you knew who I was and you knew the gift of God, you'd ask of me and I'd give you water. He was just trying to open up a conversation about water. I'd give you water and you'd never thirst again. Woo. She said, well, evermore, give it to me. Give me this water. Go get your husband. He wanted to talk about the sin in her life. But he was telling her, she's a microcosm of mankind. She's sitting there at the well. She's got her bucket. She's been coming forever and ever, drawing like those that have come before her have drawn the water. And she never does get satisfied. But he says, I've got something for you that'll satisfy your soul. Can you hear the message in that? He said, I've got something for you that will satisfy your soul. Praise God. Chapter 6 of John. He just did the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. And they gathered up the fragments. And they got in boats and they went across the sea. And when the people saw that the bread wagon had left, they got in boats and they went across the sea. And they came and they said, how did you get here, Master? He said, you came. And it's weird how Jesus never does answer the questions. He always comes from left field. And they said, how'd you get here? He said, you didn't even come for the miracles. You came because your stinking belly was full. And what he opens up to us there is that it's possible to come to God for illegitimate reasons. He said, you could come because you're seeking God, spiritual integrity. You could come just for the miracles, which is supernatural. He said, you didn't even come for that. You came to get another meal. And he knew why they were there, and he told them why they were there. And they began to try to finesse him. They said, you're making all kind of claims here. What sign do you show us? Our father Moses gave us bread. Hint, hint. They like more bread. We want more bread. He said, your fathers ate bread in the wilderness and they're all dead. He said, but I've got something for you. If you eat it, you'll live forever. And then he began to get into their mind and just blow their minds apart. He said, I am the true bread that's come down from heaven. He said, if you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you'll live forever. He said, you'll never hunger again. And they weren't so much close to the idea. They just couldn't figure it out. They said, how will this man give us his flesh to eat? They might not have been opposed to putting him on a spit and having a barbecue down by Galilee. How is he going to give us his body to eat? Well, he's touching on the Old Testament typology. He's the Passover lamb. And as he's the Passover lamb, you've got to eat his body. And when he's talking about eating his body and drinking his blood, he's talking about you appropriating the word of God and the blood of the sacrifice to your life. His body is the bread of life. It is the word of God. He said the flesh profits nothing. The Spirit giveth life. That sixth chapter of John is an incredible, incredible passage. But what he's telling us is that there's something for you in God. God's got it on a table. David said, he spreads out a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. God's got something for you to eat that will satisfy your soul. God's got something for you to drink that will satisfy your soul. Every need in your natural and spiritual life, in your mental life, in your relationships, in your home, in your family. Am I outrageous tonight to tell you that God holds the key and the answer to everything that you need in the palm of his hand? Is there anybody in this house that's found that God has been the answer to everything that you have need of? I want you to know it is incredible the places godly people will go looking for help and looking for assistance, when really you need to get on board with David and say, I recognize I've got a hunger in my life, but I'm going to move aside all of the diversions and all of the things that get in the way. My hunger is for God. What do you need? I just need more of God. What are you thirsty for? I'm thirsty for more of God. You're up in the middle of the night and you're wandering around and the devil's going to talk to you and the devil's going to say, well, you're just not happy with your job, or you're just not happy with your mate, your spouse, or you're just not happy with where you're living, or you're just not happy with where you're going to church. I want you to know there are realities in life, and I'm not dismissing any of those, but primarily the hunger that you're feeling. The Word of God says godliness with contentment, that's what great gain is. Being godly and having a contented heart in being godly, that's what great gain is. A bank account won't give that to you. A house on a hill won't give that to you. All the friends in the world won't give that to you. But if you can get a hold of God and be content with God in your life. Anybody feel full of God? If it wouldn't gross you out, I'd burp a little bit here. What's that? Man, I am so stuffed. I've been praying and seeking God, and the Word of God is so rich and good. I just don't feel like I could eat another bite. I don't think I could have a little bit more of him. I'm about stuffed with. Does anybody just feel like you're stuffed with God? Or are you stuffed with life? When you get stuffed with life, you have less time for God. How many of you mamas have set a big old meal out on the table, and when the kids came in, they were already full of junk? Anybody had that experience? Sister Paula's shaking her head. Yes, we have a yes. Have another yes. When was that, Sister Son? Or God forbid that Sarah would cook a big meal and you just couldn't wait till you got home, so you drove through Jim and Nick's. God forbid. Because then you got to sit there and you got to go, this is wonderful. And I just, because you couldn't say, no, I'm already eating. But you can get so full of the shallow potato chips and cokes of this life, eating the junk food of this world, full of Snickers bars and whatever else is not good for you, and you come to the house of God and the preacher couldn't feed you with a 2x4 upside your head and a shovel. He couldn't feed you. He just can't get anything into you because you're just full, because you were so hungry for something and you filled up on junk. Now, Nick, do you like junk? Mm-hmm. Not only does he listen to the preaching, but he's right on target and he does. Snickers bars and milkshakes and potato chips. Oh, his eyes just lit up. He's about to take me on a journey and tell me what all he likes.
Vegetables?
vegetables. Kind of kid is that? Man, those kids are from Ozark. Praise God. Good boy. Favorite vegetable. She was pinching him. I know she was. Here he goes. But you come to the house of God and you're full of junk. So full of sports. I really, preacher, I just can't eat another thing. So full of business. I really can't have another bite. I'm stuffed. So full of self and all the little trinkets. So full of romance and boys. I just can't shout tonight. If I do, I'm shouting about a boy. Henry. Gotta be so cool looking for a girl, I can't get anything out the service. All I can think about is Susie. All I got on my mind is Sally. I'm preaching right at you, Twan. I mean, I'm coming down the pike. I'm boring in with the Word of God. The Holy Ghost is driving me, but I'm looking at you, but you're not there. You can still smell the lingering trace of her cologne, her perfume. And his mind's on Susie. He's just full of Susie. The flesh will take a diversion like a bass taking a bait. But you're hungry for God. And you need to address that basic hunger. David clarified it. And David targeted it. And he lets us know you're really, really hungry for God. Everyone say, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you. This is a discussion of priorities. Tell your neighbor that's sitting right there by you, if you'll seek God first, all the other things you think you're hungry for will be added to you. If they fit in with the kingdom of God. Praise God. I need a husband, Brother Sutton. Well, you need God more than you need a husband. And some of these women in the house will tell you husbands are overrated. You don't have to shout amen. The writer of Ecclesiastes winds up the piece by saying, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He said, you need to fear God, you need to love God and keep his commandments. After the day of work and success and building and striving, the most important thing I've got on my whole agenda, I need to be right with God. That's not just a card in my pocket like insurance against the day I die. But it's the heart and soul of all of life. Now David identifies the method by which he attains that relationship with God. In verse 2, he said, I've been to the sanctuary. Praise God. Why are you going back to the house of God? Because I've realized and I've clarified the fact that I need God in my life. You work hard all day. You're tired in your body. Why are you going back to the house of God again? I'm going back one more time. I'm going to drive the thing home one more time because I realize the potato chips and the Cokes and the ice cream and the trinkets and the shallow things, they might fill me up for a while, but they won't satisfy my soul. I'm going back to the house of God because that's where I saw his glory. That's where I met him in his power. That's what I need in my life. In verse 3, he said, my lips shall praise thee. He said, I've realized what I need, and I'm going to pursue God. The way you pursue God is by prayer and by praise. You move into the presence of God by praise. David said, I may be a little distracted, and the world may be pushing against me, and my natural mind might be arguing against it. But when I come to the house of God, I get with the program. I begin begin to worship and I begin to praise and I begin to magnify God because I'm hungry. And I know the only thing that's going to satisfy me tonight is if I can touch him and he can touch me. The only thing that's going to fill me tonight is if I can get under that spout where God's pouring out the Holy Ghost and the anointing. He says in verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. Lord, as long as I'm alive. How long are you going to do that? Long as I'm living. How long are you going to be praising? Long as I'm alive. How long are you going to be going down to that church? As long as I've got breath in my body, I'm going to be praising and magnifying God. Because I've realized that's what I'm hungry for. He said, I'll lift up my hands in thy name. I want everybody in the house to lift up your hands. It's a universal sign of surrender. Now, it's important for everybody, but it's most important for the men. Paul said, I would that all men everywhere would lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. It's a sign of praise, but it's a sign of surrender. I surrender to you, O God. I realize you are my God. You are the only true and living God. And I might have success here, but it doesn't mean anything if I don't have success in you. I might have friends here, but it doesn't mean anything if you're not my friend. I might have everything this world wants, but it doesn't mean anything unless I have God in my life. I surrender to the concept that God is what my soul is hungry for. Verse 5, he said, my lips will praise thee. Let's stand together. Why don't you shout to God a little bit? Magnify God a little bit. Verse 6, he said, when I go to bed, I can't get him out of my mind. When I go to bed, last thing I want to say at night is, Jesus, you've been good to me. Jesus, you're the answer to my life. God, I may have a problem waiting on me in the morning, but God, you've been good to me, and I know that you've got my life in the palm of your hand. In the night watches, he said, I'm going to be talking about you and walking in your presence in the night watches. I'm going to meditate on you, God. Praise God. Instead of walking the floor and worrying about the pressure of the day that's coming. Instead of walking the... You say, well, I can't sleep. Well, instead of walking the floor imagining and being paranoid and meditating on all the negatives and on the problems, why don't you set all that aside and just begin to talk. Do some self-talk. Do some David talk. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Do a little bit of meditation. You know God's never lost a battle. You know God has never been defeated. You know God's never met an adversary that he couldn't conquer. God's never let anybody down. God's never failed his people. You need to begin to meditate on that. I tell you what, you're hungry. You're hungry for relief. You're hungry for an answer. But you're really hungry for God. David said, I figured out how to work this in my life. I'm going to get up in the middle of the night, and if I'm troubled, I'll turn it into a meditation session. I'll turn it into a praise party in the middle of the night all by myself. Praise God. He said, God, my soul followeth hard after thee. Praise God. Now I'll tell you, I'm 52 3/4 years old. To some of you, that's young. To some of you, that's like the Peloponnesian Wars. But I want you to know this. I'm watching these sprouts like Anthony coming up in worship and coming up in praise. I'm watching some of these fleet-footed young men. Raymond. Running like the wind in the house of the Lord. But David said, he said, my soul is following hard after thee, O Lord. I'm glad that these are coming in, and I'm glad that they're learning how to praise God. And I'm watching Cameron. Cameron's learning his steps in the worship service. He's learning how to throw his body around with wild abandon in the house of the Lord. And I'm glad for all that. But Brother Freeman, I want you to know my soul is following hard after the Lord. I want you to know I'm not going to sit down on the back row and give over this business of worship and praise and magnifying God to some little boy or some little girl that's just come into. They don't even know where I've been and what I've been through, and they haven't tasted the deliverance of God yet. My soul follows hard after God. Shake your neighbor a little bit and say, my soul is following hard after God. I'm not pressing into the basketball and then walking into the house of God like I am halfway interested. I'm not pressing into the business world or to the workday and then coming to the house of God like I'm not remotely interested. But I'm going to press hard. My soul is following hard after God. Let's come down to this altar tonight. Praise God. Somebody gets in your way, you push them a little bit and say, you better stand aside. I'm pressing hard into the presence of God. If you're in the house tonight and you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you've never received it and spoken in tongues, God wants to give it to you tonight. But when you get down to this altar, I want you to lift your hands and begin to say, you're my God. And I know that I am hungry for you. God, I am thirsty for you. God, I am following hard after you. Come on, declare it to him. Press into it tonight. Press into it tonight. God, if you got a blessing, it's my blessing. God, if you're looking for somebody to touch, touch me. If you're looking for somebody to use, use me. God, if you're looking for a man, I'll be that man. If you're looking for a family, let it be my house. Lord God, if you have a need, tell me about it. I'll meet with you in the night watches. I'm hungry for you. I'm hungry for you. Praise God. Push your neighbor a little bit and say, don't fill up on junk food. Fill up on God. Don't fill up on shallow things. Fill up on God. Is there anybody in this altar that's found that everything goes better with God? That everything is better with God? That life is better and home is better and work is better with God? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to do something for me. I want you to lay your hands on your neighbor right now. And I want you to pray for them. Pray for them. Call them by name if you know them. And if you don't, learn their name before you begin to pray. And pray that they be filled up with the fullness of God. Pray that their priorities would be directed toward God. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray an anointed prayer. Holy Ghost. Talk in tongues while you're praying for them.
My life belongs to you.